What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm so excited to have Curry Glassell here today, talking about money, but we'll get into that in just a second. Curry was raised in the oil patches of the Southwest, educated in New York City. She's a global progressive powerhouse of facilitating people to make creative, conscious, and lasting changes in all areas of their lives. And I remember the first time I met Curry, you have this really powerful, potent, strong presence in a room that's so palpable and such an invitation to just be you. And so thank you, Curry, for being here. I'm so excited to have you.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Venus. What an amazing introduction. I hope I'm worthy of it.
So let's go ahead and just dive right in, because I'm this topic for many people is just oh boy, well, do you love or hate money? So
Show that was just before us, for people listening, was all about you can create whatever you want in the new year. And I think that's great in one way you can, but what about those of us who never knew we had choice? And so one of the things that I wanted to talk about when we talk about do you love or hate money is, did you even know that there was that choice? Did you even know?
Right. Well, that did choice? You? Let's actually even just talk about you. What was your story?
Well, no, I did not before I met Gary Douglas. As a matter of fact, I thought that money was the root of all my problems. And I was raised very hellfire and damnation strangely in the Episcopal Church, which is supposed to be Catholic light. But I got this sort of overall view. I think it was because I had this nanny who used to tell me that, if I didn't do what God said, I would go to hell and burn forever. So no. It was a little challenging.
How did you know what God said?
Exactly. How did you ever know what God said? This is the whole point. I mean, it's really a challenging thing for a six-year-old, to be told that if you don't do, what God says, then you're going to hell. This gets into the deeper end of the spectrum where I go with personal mentoring. It's basically financial abuse. But where we want to start with all of your amazing listeners is the real basic point of view. What is your point of view about money? Do you love it or do you hate it? And did you even know that you could love or hate it? So, let's start at the very, very beginning.
Yes, please.
Venus, do you love it? Do you hate it? Did you ever hate it? Did you ever love it?
Yes, all of the above. I definitely hated it for a long time, mm-hmm. also up until meeting Gary Douglas. But I hated it because I thought that the only thing it was for paying bills. And, and bills were not fun for me. So I was
God, bills are, who are bills fun for is the question.
Right? So I never knew that money could be for me.
Today.
Right? Yeah. Yes. And it was always just enough just to be able to pay the bills. So it was mm-hmm. never more than that, And then I took on the have account, but we'll dive into that later. So how about you? I know that you grew up in
the
have account.
The 10% have account? Fund? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yep. Is that what you call it? Your having account?
Yeah, have account. Yep.
That's cool. That's awesome name. So yeah, back to me. Since I'm your guest, I guess we'll do the truth tale on me, all my ups and downs and joys and woes with money. Sure. Shoot. Ask me a question. Any question.
Cool. So, it says you're raised in the oil patches of the Southwest. So, did you come from money, or?
So that was for me my take on trying to make a very strange childhood funny, because I kind of get, if I turn everything into a comedy, my life gets a lot easier to handle. So my father was one of the very first billionaires, probably multi-billionaires, because of oil and gas. His father was actually, my grandfather was the worker bee who laid the foundation, who, believe it or not, started out as, you know, running a general store, and kind of through his connections and in very, very small town. We're talking about World War One era, right? Turn of the century, right? So the world was a lot smaller place, and so St. Louis was the big meeting place, you know, and so my grandfather made a lot of connections and kind of fell into drilling for wealthier people that he met, and he ended up creating a massive fortune, which, you know, I don't know how many people actually know about the history of the oil and gas business, but, and I don't know all of it, and I would never say I'm an expert, but there was a time when the East Coast of the United States functioned from electricity and coal, right, instead of gas. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that wasn't our era.
Right.
But at that time, it was a big deal to run a pipeline. And my father's company, my father and my grandfather's company, was a company called El Paso Natural Gas. And it created and built the pipeline from Texas, Louisiana, all the way to the East Coast, and brought the East Coast out of coal into natural gas. So it was a pretty darn big deal. And all these people, I mean, it's hard to even fathom, except if you watch a movie or if you've ever read Richie Rich cartoons, it's hard to really fathom the amount of wealth that was produced. Maybe Rockefeller type of wealth, okay? That's a name that almost everybody knows. This kind of wealth was being produced at the turn of the century. And it was a lot easier to kind of come by in a way, because you just started doing something, and then, you know, if you hit oil, that's why they were called wildcatters, because they would just sort of like, they just sort of would go, oh, maybe this place will work. And if they hit, it's kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies. Did you ever see that show?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That was like one of my favorite shows growing up, you know. It was like, then one day he was shooting at some coon, and out from the gun came a bubbling brew. All that is Texas team. You know, I mean, it's like, it was so random, but yet people became overnight just gazillionaires. And so World War II occurred, and so my father was brought into the fold, because in Texas and in the 40s and 50s and 60s, you know, men and boys were the most valuable product, and so they were given, you know, he was put right aside his father, and they did this business together and just made gajillions, right? I mean, when I was a little girl, like literally when I was 3, 4, and 5, my dad, and maybe even until I was about 8, my dad had like private planes, and we used to go everywhere in a private plane, and, you know, I was like, wow, you know. It wasn't until I looked back on it that I realized that that was such a different, strange, odd thing to be raised around, that it was very, very far and few between. Now, along with this extreme wealth came, sadly, extreme abuse, because both my father and stepmother were, I guess when I look back on it, very disturbed people. And there was a tremendous amount of abuse that took place in my personal household. And so that is, for better for worse, what got me asking questions as a small child. First, it got me into drugs to try and avoid all the insanity of my family. Thank God for drugs in the 60s. It helped me cope with all the abuse. But then it was like, okay, so this is messing me up, and it's not changing them, so what am I going to do? So eventually, you know, you start asking, well, at least I did. I started asking questions. Surely there's got to be more to life than a totally insane family and all these projections about how great your life must be because your father's a billionaire, but yet he beats you, you know, at mm-hmm. least once a week. So what's right? You know, it's like, wait, I grew up in this complete, like, bizarre, insane, unreal world. And that's why I try to make it a little bit more comical, because it's a miracle I'm alive, to be honest. And a lot of people, when I have private clients, and I haven't yet really written a book fully about it because, oh, you know, I haven't figured out a way to make it completely a contribution, because the depressing part is so depressing, you know? So when I figure out how to make the depressing part, like, not so bad, and it becomes a way to assist people in coming out of whatever their bad situation is, then it'll eventually become a book. I've tried 5 times, Venus, so it's apparently not time for my book about my bizarre childhood. So I just put it lightly, raised in the oral patches of, you know, the Southwest or Texas, because I was really raised around people who had billions and billions of dollars in these extravagant homes, and yet you would meet the people and they had no connection with their children. I had friends who committed suicide because they made a B or a C and they were afraid that their parents wouldn't approve. It's a very big dysfunctional thing that occurs in very wealthy families. So for me, I grew up hating money and being sure that money was the root of all my problems. That if I just wasn't so rich, that I would have a father I could talk to or a mother I could speak to, that I could have those wonderful conversations that you see on, you know, Hallmark, you know, where the mother and the child actually, you know, have a conversation about caring and they love each other. And yes, the daughter may be going through some stuff, but in the end, it's all okay. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That never occurred in my life, not even one time, before I was in my 20s when I went and started to try and resolve some things with these very bizarre family members. Mm. So I thought money was terrible and horrible. I didn't realize that it wasn't money. It was the people who were using the money in terrible and horrible ways, okay? So do you do any processes on your radio? Is it strictly for,
yes,
for people? I mean, I don't know what your... Is it okay to do a process?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. If you feel inspired to share a tool or process, absolutely. Go right in.
Okay. Because I've done a lot of radio shows, and a lot of people just like me to talk about the access tools. The access tools are the greatest tools in the world, I'm convinced. And if you've never had an access bar session and you really would like change in your life, find an access bars facilitator and get it done. And that's all I'm going to say, because now maybe you're curious and you'll call Venus or something, or go to my website or... .. accessconsciousness.com. But anyway, so hating money. So, like, remember I was raised in the church too, this fear of God thing. So in the Bible, I've actually read the Bible 3 times. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I forgot about the love part, and I just went directly to money is the root of all evil. Well, so that being a basic lie in and of itself created an energy in my life of where I never could really hold on to money for very long. I was always finding a way that someone was needier than me and I wanted to help them. Or there was a charity. Or I had a friend who was dying of cancer and we did a fundraiser for her and I underwrote the whole thing. I mean, there was like always somebody so much needier in my point of view than me. And I thought, well, I just use my money to help others, you know. And again, that's part of that religious training to, you know, kind of be a servant. Not necessarily the healthiest way to grow up, but, you know, I was really blinded to the fact that that money is an energy and it could be an amazing contribution until I met Gary Douglas, really and truly. And so there. So that was, oh, I know what I want to say. So... have any of you all out there listening ever wondered why you didn't have enough money in your life?
Yep.
Well,
I'll answer for some of those people.
Yeah. The good news is you're the reason. The bad news is you're the reason. So this is the good and the bad news about becoming more aware. If you're willing to take a real honest look at yourself and ask this one question, just begin with this. Do I love money or do I love spending money? Do I hate money? What is hate? Hate is like, it's a distractor implant too, right? But that's a whole nother conversation. So do you love or hate money? And you can start right there. And you can ask yourself that every day. Do I love money? Do I hate money? Do I love spending money? Do I enjoy having money and not spending money? What exactly is your reality with money? And so just a basic process that you can use is every point of view, every thought, feeling, and emotion that you have locked in that keeps you from being aware of what your point of view is and what your relationship to money truly is, will you now destroy and create it all?
Yes.
Thank you. Right, wrong, good, bad, pod, pod, call nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. So for those who don't know about the clearing statement, let's just send them to theclearingstatement.com. But this is an energetic release to assist you in coming out of these stuck points of view that are sticking your entire life. And money is such a great place to start because Venus, have you ever met anyone that doesn't have something funky, some funky point of view around money?
Very, very few. But you had a really good point there. I mean, the fact that you have a lot of money doesn't mean that you don't have some weird points of view. And a lot of people think that if you do have a lot of money, that those points of view go away. They don't.
That is,
you take
it
with you.
Information. That is very incorrect. Money does not make you happy. Money just helps you buy things. And to further that point of yours, I would say that 90% of everybody that I grew up with, you know, children of multi millionaires and billionaires, they have no interest in being more conscious. They have no interest in being more aware. If they are upset, they go buy something. It's called retail therapy. And they're very happy with that reality. Mm-hmm. Extremely.
Well, we're going to continue that thought. We're going to take a quick short break here. We'll be back in just a couple minutes and talk some more with Corey Glassell about whether you love or hate money.
Of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Who said life had to be hard and disempower you? What if all of life really could come to you with ease and joy? What if everything you saw as a wrongness of you was actually one of your greatest strengths? What if you could wake up every morning with a newfound sense of empowerment? Join Venus Castleberg to discover a world of infinite possibilities. Every weekday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, Morning Musings goes live on the Venus Castleberg CF Facebook page. What magic can we create every day?
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. With me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm here with Corey Glassell, and we're talking about whether you love or hate money. And right before the break, Corey, you did a little process of like, oh, you guys could just ask, you know, do I love or hate money? Do I love or hate money? But could you give us some ideas of how somebody might know that they love or hate money?
Sure, sure. Well, I can start with myself. I was sure I hated money because I had made the decision, I had come to the conclusion, I had created the judgment that everyone I knew with money was mean. And therefore, I didn't want anything to do with anything that had to do with mean people. So I began as a teenager, and I guess thanks to drug, sex, and rock and roll, that era was my teenage era, the 70s, making a lot of friends that were artists. I also happened to be an artist. I was a painter and a photographer. And I decided, and I'm sort of emphasizing these few words, you might make note, that I was going to be an artist and live in the artist community because these people didn't have money, so they weren't mean. Ooh. So what I did was I boxed myself in by those judgments, decisions, and conclusions. And so where you should start, which is where I started, is what decisions have I made that caused me to hate money? Wow. And then I took it back even further and I looked at my family, because you function from your family of origin unless you do personal development work. Can we kind of agree on that?
Yeah.
You basically become your family and your parents unless you decide one day, and I'm using the word decision again, yes, you decide, I desire not to be like my family. I desire to be more A, B, C, or D. And for me it was, I desire not to be like my family. So then I went on this, I guess, 40-year journey, because really that was about, I put myself in boarding school at 16, and I started reading and reading all kinds of stuff I could find about mysticism, occultism, anything that had to do with something that was not of this reality, as far as I could tell, and was, you know, not of the formal church. And so I was very glad to be in New England, where they were, quote, very liberal. For many reasons. And so I had a wonderful education on the East Coast, and I got to read a lot, and I got to do a lot of my art, but I noticed that the people I liked the most didn't have very much money. And so I wanted to be like them. Ooh, there's another thing that many people do. I for sure did it. I wanted to fit in somewhere. I did not fit in with the group that I was raised in my own mind, because I was like a really friendly, like sort of carefree, you know, kind of gal, you know, and everybody else was like super strict and super judgmental, and they were always telling you what's right and what's wrong to do. And I'm like, oh my gosh, can I just live in gray? Do I have to live in right or wrong? Can I live in something else? And so being an artist and the whole Beatles and the 60s and all that stuff and 70s was a wonderful time for me of liberation. But it was also a time of sinking into a lack of awareness and more unconsciousness, even though I thought I was seeking consciousness. And that's a whole other story, too. But so if you make a decision, you limit yourself no matter what you do. Now, this can be a little overwhelming, because how many decisions do you make in an hour?
A minute?
Well, yeah, I was just trying to give people a little bit of a deep breath. Oh, deep breath out. This is like your new meditation. What would it take to not make any decisions in the next hour? Yes, exactly, right? So we are constantly making decisions. And we're not even aware of it half the time. So this is a task. And it can be also fun if you're willing to be honest with yourself, to laugh at yourself, and to not take everything so seriously, you know, and humor and joy has been extremely helpful for me, because I did not grow up in a family that ever joked around. I mean, children were to be seen and not heard in my family. I mean, if you said something, there was a good chance you might get beaten for it. So no one wanted to talk in my family. It was like silence is golden, and it was the rule. So learning to joke was and I'm still learning. Sometimes I'm still too serious, but sometimes I think that's also part of the spectrum of being ADD, ADHD, slightly autistic, and just a really weird artistic humanoid half-breed type of person that I am, you know. It's just, it's a lot of things. I'm very different. Now, coming to grasp with being that different has taken me, let's see, I turned 62 this year. I'm still grappling with that some days. It's still a challenge to be so different. And then I get my bars run, got my bars run this morning, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just really different. Okay, cool. Now, what would I like to do in the world? Who would I like to be in the world? Who would you like to be in the world, to all your audience? Are you doing what gives you joy?
Yes.
Are you being what gives you joy? You see, and if you're stuck in this money thing, if you're sure money is your issue and everything would be all right if you just had, you know, an angel drop $100,000 into your bank account tonight, is that really true? Or is that some kind of romantic utopian ideal? You're like telling yourself this story that keeps you from actually creating something different, or even better, choosing. Choice creates. Choice. How many choices can you make that you're refusing to make that if you would make them would totally change your financial future? You know, and everything that doesn't allow you to have that, will you destroy and then create all that and be that?
Yes.
And do that? Right, wrong, good, bad, pop, pop, all nine, choice, woods, meow.
Okay, great. We have the caller.
Awesome.
Hello, Joseph.
Wow. Hi, Joseph.
How are you ladies doing today?
Great.
Great, thank you. And yourself?
Awesome. Amazing.
What can we do for
you?
Thank
you so much. Well, thank you for sharing everything that you are, Curry. It's been awesome. As I've been listening, there's just been a ton of stuff that's been coming up for me here in the last few weeks with finances, and it's interesting. I find this time of year, I can I own my own business and I do outside sales, and so it's all commission driven, and so I with what I've done, and whether it's me or the team of guys I have working with me, I make income both ways, and what I have found is I realized that this year here, as I entered this last quarter of the year, I really have put a stranglehold on my money flows. And I'm looking for, of course, I want to go into mass judgment, and, you know, I got the monkey mind going on. And so I'd love maybe some help, what can I do to get out of that? Where can I look at this differently? Because I'm looking at it as a problem, not really as a possibility.
Exactly. Well, actually, you just answered your own question.
Awesome.
When you were looking at the problem and you're looking at the past, and would you say that you will fall into blame, shame, regret, or guilt over things you have done ever? Do you ever make yourself wrong?
Yes.
So if you constantly look at that, that is what Access Consciousness calls a distractor implant. So I'm going to talk to you for a minute, but I'm also going to recommend you get the book Living Beyond Distraction. What a huge gift it could be to you if you would choose. So when you fall into looking at the past, you are constantly looking at what you did wrong, whether it's in the way you mismanaged some money, maybe you didn't manage it, maybe you didn't follow your gut knowing, maybe you listened to somebody else. Whatever the justification or the reason is, it didn't turn out the way you truly desired or you knew it could. Instead of going, wow, that's not my brightest choice, most of us go into, oh, golly, if I had just dang. Oh, no, you know. And so these distractor implants, the blame of yourself, the shame of yourself, the regret you have, the stranglehold that's now on your finances, you know, puts you into looking at what you did as a wrongness. And it's like a constant loop. You cannot get out. One of the only ways to get out of that is to have your bars run or to begin to look at this as a distractor implant. And I'm happy to do, actually it's funny because the only process I prepared for this whole radio show has to do with this subject. Everything else was just kind of spontaneous. So I have a process for you too. If you,
awesome.
But do you have a question?
No, please.
Okay.
Run.
Cool. Okay. So every time these blame, shame, regret, and guilt, they are designed to put you into looking at what you did as wrongness, okay? And to keep you in the wrongness, continually looping back, so that you become the wrongness of you. So everything that is, and all the trifold sequencing systems creating it, and everything else that holds it in place in your world and your universe and everybody else listening, will you now destroy and create all those?
Yes.
Right, we're on good, bad, pod, pod, call, nine, trust, boys, me on. And now you can also have your bars run with a thing called trifold sequencing systems. So I don't know if you've done any, if you've ever had your bars run or been to an Access Bars class, but this was what was the beginning of getting me to come out of the wrongness of me. This is something I've struggled with my whole life. Blaming myself for things I do wrong instead of just going, okay, next time I'm going to follow my knowing. Okay, what's right about me I'm not getting, and starting to ask questions. Does that help at all?
Yeah, that more than you know. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Yay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Thank you, Venus.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Wow, that was great. And Curry, would you be willing to run that cleric statement again? I know some people out there may not know cognitively what she just said, and that's okay. It's meant to bypass mm-hmm. your cognitive mind mm-hmm. and just change mm-hmm. the energy. So,
absolutely. I might rework it a little bit because this is so cool. I just love consciousness. It's so cool. Wow. So everything that causes you all to stay in the wrongness of you, everything that is, and all the trifold sequencing systems creating it, and everything else, seen or unseen, heard or unheard, imagined or unimagined, that holds all that in place, will you now destroy and uncreate it and set yourself free?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine, choice, boys, me on. And you can actually make a list. This is like, you know, if you're really interested in getting clear, you can ask yourself, make a little list. Like, so what is my reality with money? Okay, so, and look at a specific incident or just, you know, your whole life, whatever you want to do. And you can go, okay, so where did I blame myself? Everything that brings up, times of Godzillion, pock and pot, all that. Where did I shame myself? Everything that brings up, times of Godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, pot, pock, all nine, shorts, boys, beyond. Where do I have the most regrets financially? Everything that brings up, times a godzillion, will you destroy and create it all? Right, wrong, yes. Good, bad, pod, poc, all nine, just boys, me on, et cetera, and so forth. This is the beauty of the clearing statement. You can use it specifically. You can use it, like I want to say, broadband. It works if you use it.
That's awesome. And just for those of you who might have missed it, she did mention that you can actually go to theclearingstatement.com and learn mm-hmm. all about it. Dr. Dane here does a great job describing it, but it really is just like hitting a delete button, like cleaning up your computer as if you mm-hmm. were going to clear up your hard drive. So
Well, and I'm so glad you said it like that, because it's really... We have so many thoughts, feelings, and emotions, decisions, judgments, computations, conclusions, as we mentioned, that we make every day, every hour. And what if there was a way, literally, that in 90 minutes of your day, you could delete 10,000 of them at one time? Would you? Mm. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. OMG. You know, this morning I was thinking what I would love to do is meet a... angel capitalist, venture capitalist investor, and I'd like to set up, you know, like a little bar shop in every airport in you know, the world, you know, starting with wherever, whenever, you know, and offer bars while people are rushing through to their next life or their next appointment or, you know, whatever it is they're choosing, you know, right. Because it's twice as effective, if not 100 times more effective than a massage or a facial.
Hmm. And they do have those little massage kiosks, so we just need little bars kiosks.
Well, that's what I was saying, but I don't yeah. really, you know, you really need, you need someone who has a brilliant business mind about that, and I would quickly say that's probably not me. I could, you know, be the hospitable one. You know, I'm the one that, you know, is hospitable, and I know that I run, you know, great bars and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But setting up the foundation of that kind of a business, you know, takes a certain, I want to say a French word that I can't think of right now, je ne sais quoi or something, you know. So what else is possible?
Well, wouldn't that be
great to take another break. Okay. Yeah. No, I was going to say, wouldn't it be great to have? Well, wouldn't it be great to have like bars, businesses all over the world? What would it take to create something like that?
Yes. Yeah. The global empire. But we will be right back after this short break, folks.
Best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to Level 2 Answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Everyone, and welcome back. I'm here with Curry Glassell, and we're talking about, do you love or hate money? You know, I remember hearing Gary Douglas talk one time about, like, somebody was, you know, concerned, you know, about who they would become when they had a lot of money. And he said, a lot of money just amplifies who you already are. So if you're already a kind and generous person, you'll be a kind and generous person. If you're a jerk, you'll be more of a jerk. Unless you choose to change it, of course.
I would not disagree.
Right. So, Curry, I named this show Outside the Impossible because I really desire for people to know that anything is possible, even the things that they've deemed impossible. So I would love for you to share if you have an area where you, like, it could do with money, it could do with anything. Was there something that you deemed would be impossible to change that you were able to change?
Oh, my gosh. Ooh. Wow. Yeah, like my future?
Could you say more about that?
This is like, I wish I'd been given a little bit of, you know, notice if you were going to ask this question, but spontaneously, I really, before I took the Access Consciousness classes and I did quite a bit of private mentoring with Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane here, I did not realize that I had the power or the potency to change my future. I really thought I was doomed in the position that I lived in. And at that time, I was $2 million in debt. I was a single mom, two little babies. One was not quite two, three, and one was seven, eight. Yeah. And with basically, from my point of view, no knowledge or wisdom to be the empowering parent that I knew I had to become. I had to become something I was not. I could not use any of my past, any of my, quote, family skill set. My family skill set sucked. There were no family skill set. Basically, you could say I was raised by wolves and the cook in the kitchen. So I had no skill sets for how to raise these two amazing boys. And I did not know at the time that I had the power, that I was a source, and that I could actually create a different future. Amazing. And I have been able to do that. There's ups and downs. It's not all been roses. And the question, if I can, and I encourage everybody else, if I can ask a question, and not a conclusion, okay? Not a conclusion with a question mark at the end, not a statement with a question mark at the end. Really and truly seek a question that has no answer, then you begin to go into the realm of awareness of a different future. And this for me has taken me, well, 18 years. I met Gary Douglas the night before 9/11. So it's very much a choice to commit to having a different future and commit to your life and be willing to fail, be willing to be wrong, be willing to make mistakes, and be willing to get back up again and go, gosh, okay, that was not my best and brightest move. Dang. But to not dwell in wrongness and judgment of yourself. That was a long-winded answer. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, no, that's great. Like, anything is possible. I love that.
Anything is cool. Possible if you know that there is, that you can ask a question and there, that you can actually change your current reality. But now to get people to even know that they have choice. I mean, in a way, I'm lucky I was raised in the church, because this is so funny. I'm such an inquisitor. But in the church, they always said, you know, if you give your life to Jesus and, you know, give your life to Jesus, then you'll have a great future. And one day I asked myself, and I, you know, I went a little while to like a theological school, and I thought about doing that path, actually, and did it for a little bit. I asked myself, well, wait a minute. If there's an indefinite future or an infinite future, if I just like say, hey, Jesus, I want to go with you, you know, I mean, like, you know, I mean, I'm just sort of making it sort of in normal terms, not in religious terms. Well, what about the past? How can I have an infinite future without having an infinite past? And that's, I even started asking those questions when I was 12 years old. And I started reading, you know, all kinds of wild things. I think I started reading books on reincarnation and the Gnostic Gospels. And I was just so inquisitive. And I'm really grateful for that. It annoyed all the people in Sunday school, I'm sure. But it gave me a stepping stone to then where I am today and when I met Gary Douglas. Okay, so I can ask questions and I can change the way I do things because I'm the source of my own being. I can change what I do. If I can perceive it, then I can be it.
Beautiful. Yes. You can be anything. Cool. So I'm going to ask you another question, but before we get off on that, I'd love for you
that
to just
heavy?
Say...
Is it going to be this heavy? Is it the last one?
No, no. Oh, no. It's a great one, actually. I just don't want to run out of time before we can say, how can people find you? Where can they find you?
How can people find me? If you can spell my name, you can find me. You can find the good and the bad about me, you know. I was front page news for a while in a lawsuit that was really insane. But you just... CurryGlassell.com.
Cool, and that's two R's and two S's and two L's.
Yeah, lots of twos there, right? Yeah. Curry like the spice, glass cell, like, I don't know what it's like.
Actually, it's glass. Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. GLASSELL, just in case anybody wants to know. Oh, and then I know you mentioned you actually have a teleclass coming up in January. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I have a lot of stuff coming up in January because I've been percolating for months on what would I like to share. You know, I have this vast wealth, not only just from 18 years of amazing access tools, but also just from living the life I've lived, you know. I had one friend tell me I probably had 3 PhDs in living. And so I'm looking at creating not just some monthly telecalls, but some mentoring programs, individual and group, and I'm calling them Adventures in Transformation, because that is what I see, that I chose to begin to transform from the way I was to the way I would like to be. And how did I do that? And I'd love to share those tools with people. So we will probably have a free telecall, and if you want to register for that just to find out more, you can go to my website. There, I believe there's a little link or something. I'm so not really super technical. I try and learn something every day, but I'm. If you go to my website, you should be able. There should be a tab now that says Adventures in Transformation. If you're interested, we're going to be doing all kinds of things in the new year. I'm actually starting a new podcast. I have an old podcast, so there you go. You can listen to my old podcast, which was called Gems, and see if you even find it interesting. You know, and if you do, you know, come along. That's a Let's go through this together. Let's see what we can transform.
That's beautiful. And it is curryglassell.com/adventures.html if you guys are looking for the Adventures in Transformation and where to sign up.
Thank you. Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, Curry, if you could speak to, because I know a lot of people, like when we talk about wealth, that's a different conversation, because a lot of people get into like, well, a lot of money is wealth. Could you speak to maybe your definitions a little bit more of what wealth is and how it shows up?
Oh, so now you're gonna make me cry too?
Okay. No.
So the highs and lows of talking about money. So for me personally, true wealth is knowing that you have some very, very good friends, and you are able to gift and receive to each other and care for each other, and friendship is the greatest wealth I find on the planet. And then you have enough means to where you can change other people's reality, because what an amazing gift it is if, you know, I've done this a lot. But say you go to a restaurant and you just have a cup of coffee, or, you know, maybe just a dessert or something. You don't need a big meal, and the waitress who serves you is a little bit like unsure of herself. And, you know, I know that many years ago Gary told me a story that this happened to him, and I have since done this as often as I can. He gave her a tip that was twice as much as the bill, and she was like, "What?" And so he left the restaurant, and she came running out. Sir, you gave me too much money. Here's your change. And he looked at her, and he said, "No, you keep it. Good luck. You're going to be okay." Now, to just use money to let someone know they're going to be okay is one of the greatest gifts, and for me is what wealth and having wealth is all about. That's a true use of wealth. I've been fortunate enough, he told me that many, many years ago, and I've been able to do that. It's a really different way of using money and interacting with money. Very different from being rich, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Stephen Judith Bowman said, more money means more choice and more possibilities. And that's it. There's not.
For sure.
It's
for
so
sure.
Simple. Yeah.
More
yeah,
choice.
But what could you.
Really, the real reason that, because we're not, most of us are, who are caring beings who want to create change in the world, we want to be more conscious, we're not really motivated for some reason. I wish we were, but we're not really motivated by the almighty dollar or the almighty euro or the almighty franc or whatever it is. We're not. But I tell you, I am motivated to be able to gift to someone who, if this, you know, computer for them is going to change their whole world and open up their ability to create a greater business, and I have the capacity to gift them a computer, holy fuckster. And I actually did that one time. Hmm. Changed the person's world. But more than, it was like, oh my God, finally, money can be used to create a different reality. And that's what motivates me.
And then really does invite us to love money.
Right? Right? But love is a little tricky. Love is a little tricky again. I purposely use that because it's a little bit of a, to love and hate, again, they're both distractor implants. And so to love money, you know, how many definitions of love are there? What do we mean when we say love? What about if you like were to enjoy money? I would like to invite your audience to consider enjoying the choices money brings and enjoying the capacity it can give you to be more generous.
Mm. Yes. Generosity of spirit. Wonderful. If there was one thing, one or two more things you might really want our guests to get today, what might they be?
Get your bars run. Number one. Number two, know that you have choice. Nothing is unchangeable. Nothing. If you are the creator and the destroyer of your life, you are the source. If you're willing to step up and choose that, then nothing is unchangeable.
So then I guess the question would be, what do you want to change in your life? Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with money.
Maybe
right?
Not. Yeah. Maybe not.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that part of, you know, how you just didn't know you could change your life, and you know, money is just a byproduct, and for many people it's not motivating, you know. So like, what is the thing that motivates you the most? Mm-hmm. What would you like to see more of?
And Venus, money is an energy. Mm. Right?
Can you say more about that?
It's an energy. It's like, and I love this, is, you know, in the Right Riches Free book and other books, it's an energy, like it's the fuel you put in your car to make it go. It's actually an energy, and you can become the energy of money. Again, this is, you know, one of the wonderful, wonderful adventures in transformation would be to become money. I used to teach a class called How to Become Money. It's a lifelong adventure, by the way. It's not like, oh, okay, tonight I'm going to become money. Cool, and I'm money tomorrow. I mean, maybe you can do that. Probably someone can, but I wasn't able to do it quite like that.
Could you say a little bit more about that? Like, how would somebody become money?
Well, one of the exercises that I would give them is I would tell them to walk into, male or female, whatever high-end store that they love. For women, it'd probably be a Gucci, Pucci, or a Prada, or Chanel, or something like that. For men, it'd probably be like, you know, Rolls Royce, Range Rover, Mont Blanc, you know, something. Walk into one of those stores, with the attitude that you had the ability to buy anything in the store, anything at all. Money was no problem. The store had given you carte blanche. You could buy it. You could put it on layaway for as long as you like. But you had the ability to buy anything you'd ever dreamed of. The diamond ring, the Chanel suit, the silver cloud Rolls Royce. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I love that. So what do you desire? If you can have anything you want, does it change the way you look at desire? Does it change the way you look at your life? If money was no problem, what would you choose?
Oh, that is so beautifully put. Thank you so much, Curry, for being here. Thank you for listening, folks. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you, Venus, for inviting me.
Yes. Have a wonderful day.